Hey, Marvelmaniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 195. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I've done that twice in a row now without screwing it up. Yay me. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, our regular hosts, Sheba and John. Good evening, guys. How are you?
I'm really proud of you, Tim, for not messing up the last few times. So congratulations. Victory. You need to celebrate all of them.
I'm actually staring at a kind of full moon and it's night. And then I'm like, well, that's cool. Let's talk about this character, at night. And granted, full moons aren't necessarily tied to them, but, still a little creepy.
It's close to Halloween.
Yeah, it's seasonally appropriate. Yeah. We're close to Halloween. We do have the what's called the Hunter's Moon out tonight and tomorrow night. And yeah, I can see it right out my window. Is a
why is it called the Hunter's Moon?
John, if you wanted that information, you should have done a profile on it.
That's our next profile.
Folks, join us next week for a character profile on the Hunter's Moon, brought to you by John.
And we'll all be dressed up as werewolves.
Yes, absolutely. But we're not really talking about werewolves in this particular episode. This is a profile episode, by the way, in case you didn't know. You probably knew because you saw the title. And by looking at the title of the episode, you probably know who the profile is. But maybe you missed it. Maybe your podcast player just kind of went to this episode. You didn't see what the title was. Maybe you didn't want to spoil yourself. Maybe you just like shielded your eyes and clicked play or something. Hopefully you hit the right button. This character profile is on Blade.
Yep.
And this is going to be done by Sheba. Now, of course, this is the mainstream Marvel Comics character of Blade. A lot of us know Blade pretty prominently from the Wesley Snipes movies. And of course we know that we are going to have another Blade film, which will officially be part of the MCU, maybe releasing in about a year. If you listen to our previous episode 194, we talked about some of the date changes. We've had kind of some expectation that Blade is going to release in October of next year. But we don't really know. They've never given us an official date. And even in releases where they've talked about dates, they've kind of not said it, which is weird and mildly awkward. So we could be completely wrong. Don't really know. But with that, Sheba, I'm going to hand the episode over to your very capable hands.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to pull out a book here. This is a book in case you can't hear the sound effects. But I am going to...
Folks, we do our own Foley work here on the Guardians of the MCU podcast, by the way.
Very talented over here. But I found some information from the Order of Tyranna, which is an organization that specializes in the matters of the occult, which vampires and things would fall under. So I'm going to just read through here. We are doing... Like I said, we're going to be looking at Blade, who was born Eric Brooks. His date of birth was the 24th of October, 1922, which is very close. Actually, it's this weekend. So happy early birthday. His place of birth was Soho, London. So he's a British man. His parents were Lucas Cross, who was a member, as it says here, of the Order of Tyranna. And his wife, Vanessa Brooks, although she was born Tara or Tara. I'm not sure the pronunciation, but I'm going to say Tara. His early life, Lucas Cross, his father, had sent his pregnant wife to England before he was taken prisoner in Latvia. There's a note here that says, see file on Dr. Doom for more on Latvia. So I thought I'd point that out in case.
Latvia or Latveria?
I'm thinking Latvia, but Latveria.
Ah, yes.
My bad. My glasses. I need to get my prescription fixed. So sorry about that.
That's all right.
You care?
I hear though, actually, that if you are turned into a vampire, you end up with excellent eyesight.
I do hope that. I mean, I can't get laser surgery, so that would be really helpful for me.
Okay.
If I could, you know, get something like that. But while in England, Tara took on the name Vanessa Brooks and took shelter in a brothel, which was owned by another order member named Madame Vanity. Tara faced labor complications and was forced to seek medical assistance. Her doctor was a well-known vampire, Deacon Frost.
Wow.
He feasted on, so he ended up feasting on Tara as she was giving birth. And that, as it says here, made it so that she received something called the vampire kiss, which in the notes here, it says that it ended up being that Eric Brooks ended up being half human and half vampire. So he wasn't really fully converted into a vampire, but was known as a dampier. Deacon Frost ended up escaping without killing the child, but unfortunately, Eric Brooks's mother, Tara, was killed. Eric Brooks was then raised at Madame Vanity's brothel. His training, it says, that he was trained by Jamal Afari. After Eric Brooks saved him from being killed by vampires, he was taught to hunt, fight, and kill vampires. Jamal
We're
Afari...
kind of skipping over the whole being raised in a brothel experience.
Yeah. PG-13, Tim.
Not to say that we have to, like, know the details, but still, that's like an abnormal thing for a lot of people.
It really is kind of an
occasional movie trope type of thing, but yeah.
Didn't seem to have any of the extra information in the notes. The order, I guess, decided to skip over that since it wasn't, I mean, I guess because the brothel was owned by one of their own members, they didn't want to kind of give away any of her background information or details. So they kind of kept that information out.
As I said in the previous episode of Guardians of the MCU, and I quote, bow chicka bow bow.
All I can assume. There's no better way to have put that. So Tara faced, I'm going back to the clearly can't read.
She's dead.
She's dead in this part here. But Jamal Afari actually acted as a foster father to Eric Brooks and helped him control his powers during this time. So, well, about his teenage years, Eric ended up changing his name to Blade at this time. And
because it sounded cooler, right?
Yeah.
And because he named it after the weapons that were used to kill the vampires. So I guess he wanted to instill fear into the vampires. So took on that name. And he vowed to avenge his mother's death.
Now, I'd like to ask a question.
Wait.
His who is his trainer here?
Jamal Afari.
So who's Jamal? Where did he come from? Is he a vampire? Is he a vampire hunter? What's his thing? What's his gig? Did he live at the brothel? Like, how did these guys get together? I don't know.
At the brothel. Let me just check my notes here. Give me a second. And I don't remember it saying.
Was there like a combat studio in the brothel? I'm just like, this is getting more and more weird.
No, unfortunately, it didn't. It just said that his training, he grew up in London. He ran into an American veteran vampire slayer, Jamal Afari. And he saved Jamal Afari from being killed by vampires who had a grudge against Jamal Afari. And then that's when Jamal Afari noticed that he had some specific set of skills and figured that he could use Eric in his quest to hunt vampires. And so took him under his wing and decided to train him.
So Eric / Blade is actually, He's a black Liam Neeson.
Pretty much, yep.
is what you're saying. He has a very particular set of skills. Yeah. Okay. All right.
About, you know, his powers and his abilities and all of his skills. But Afari did help him kind of become better able to control and use his powers, and then also trained him on how to actually hunt vampires. So they kind of worked really well together. Blade and Afari did split up afterwards, so they kind of had a little bit of a breakup. And it's sad because Afari took the fall for Blade because Blade accidentally mistook someone as a vampire and ended up killing the man. So Afari ended up taking the fall for that and went to prison, or was locked up and put away. So that's pretty much why they ended up splitting up. So there was that. And then, you know, Blade goes through a lot of different, he has a lot of different adventures and goes on a lot of different, different adventures and helps a lot of Avengers and other allies, which we'll get to talk about his allies a little later on. In the notes here, it says that some of his powers, he's immune to vampire bites. Even though he is only part human and part vampire, he is immune to vampire bites.
I would imagine that's pretty handy for being a vampire hunter.
It is very handy. Because you don't want to be bit while you're hunting vampires, because then that would be kind of counterproductive, I guess.
Yeah. Because then you turn into a vampire, and then you're kind of, you become your own worst enemy, literally.
You literally hate yourself. Just,
yeah.
It becomes really awkward. You're like, hey, I got to kill you, but I'm the same thing. It just becomes a little weird. So it is really beneficial for him. He's attuned to the supernatural. So he's able to, again, there's a little bit more in here a little later on about his supernatural abilities, or the ability to,
to clock in.
There you go. Thank you. He's resistant to aging. And so he gets that from the vampire side of things. It also says here, as just a random note, that he was bit by Morbius at one point, and Morbius is a well-known vampire. Mm-hmm. And he had gained more superhuman strength during that time. His senses and his stamina, and he received accelerated healing factors of vampires during that time as well, and he received none of the weaknesses. It doesn't go into great detail about the whole Morbius thing, but it was just a note in here that I ended up seeing in the book. Mm-hmm. So for his heightened senses, or his heightened sense of sight and hearing, he can see things at night at incredible distances in almost complete darkness, which again does really help when it comes to going against vampires, because as we know, vampires are prone to hunting at night. They do not like the sunlight. So it's perfect for him being able to see in the dark. He can hear sounds that...
And as I said, Sheba, you wouldn't have to get new glasses.
I'm really... This half vampire, half human thing is really starting to be very appealing. The more I read about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is interesting. Where can I sign up? He can hear sounds that most humans can't hear. And I don't know about both of you, but my hearing is pretty bad. So...
See?
Again.
Yeah, one more benefit of becoming a vampire.
Throw column. Like I said, he can also sense supernatural beings. He can sometimes sense them when other humans cannot. He kind of knows when somebody is a human or is not. And that kind of goes into his strong sense of smell. So he can even smell at distances, he can smell the difference between a human and what's not from very great distances. And he kind of shares that similarity to Wolverine.
Mm.
So Wolverine has that similar power. He also has superhuman strength. He can lift about 1 ton and has been known to easily rip the heads off of vampires. Again,
sweet.
Very important skill to have when hunting vampires.
Yeah. I mean, this keeps getting more and more interesting, because you think, oh, okay, vampire hunter, they're going to have the wooden stake, they're going to have the crucifix, they're going to have some holy water, whatever. No, he just rips their heads off of their bodies.
Benefit to being half vampire himself.
He also has down with this.
He also has superhuman speed, so he can move faster, obviously, than most athletes. He can accelerate fast to cover short distances, and he is faster than the human eye can see, although he is not as fast as a full vampire, so as a true vampire. So
can
there's,
he turn into a bat?
We're going to get to that momentarily.
It's really?
Later on. It's notes later Sheba. On about a little bit about that.
This is very exciting.
I already was a big fan of Blade from the beginning. This, you know, this just kind of helped me open my eyes to what was more interesting about this character and this person. So he has quick reflexes, sometimes looks as though everyone else is moving in slow motion, which is really cool. He has a superhuman ability. So he has enhanced agility. He has great balance and coordination. They're enhanced to those beyond most elite athletes, and it will almost always land on his feet. So kind of like a cat in that way, but he's not a cat. He's more of a bat. I'm a poet also.
Sheba, I was going to jump in on that joke, but you did it yourself.
Thank you. I need to put in my own jokes in case nobody else catches it, you know? He has superhuman stamina, so he can exert himself for hours before he gets fatigued. So he can go on for like hours and hours on, you know, just running, staying up late at night, that kind of thing.
And that superhuman. Made him very popular at the brothel.
But that's, I don't know if it's
PG-13, Tim.
What? He was able to, you know, do jumping jacks. I don't know.
Exactly, jumping jacks. he has superhuman durability, so he can sustain physical trauma to an excruciating extent. Things like extreme temperatures, powerful energy blasts will not injure him if he is attacked over long periods of time, which is again pretty cool. He has a regenerative healing factor. There we go. So he can heal very quickly, like a true vampire. He can heal from wounds within minutes or hours, depending on how severe the wounds are. Another note here, they have said that Wolverine actually commented on how Blade's regeneration is almost in line with his. The only difference is that he cannot regenerate limbs or organs, which is unfortunate, because that would probably come in handy in case his arms were organs got ripped out by vampires,
or in the event of, you know, could be vampires, could be anything else. I mean, we've all watched Deadpool, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Another really cool thing that it says here in the book, he has a contaminant transferal, so he can take things into his body and transfer it out into other beings and other living beings. So, for example, if somebody has a disease, he can get. Like if somebody else has the cure in their blood, he can extract that and put it into someone else, which I thought was cool. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool thing that he has.
Could actually be the solution to the whole pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. If he was around, he found one person, extracted it from their blood and given it to everyone else. Forget vaccines. We would just get that. We get Blade.
Okay.
So he also has prolonged lifespan, so not as long as a true vampire, but it's still longer than a human, a lot longer than human. He has no change in appearance, though at some point in time he has lost some hair. So not really changing in his appearance other than losing hair.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong.
There is really
with
nothing
losing
wrong.
Hair.
No, Tim, it happens.
And there are some really, well, there are some very attractive people in Hollywood who don't have their hair. So
in Hollywood,
there are some very attractive people on this podcast without their hair, Tim.
Oh, I wasn't. Yeah. I was going to say that in Hollywood that Tim can share in with that. I was going to include Tim with that, but.
You were doing so well, Sheba, up until that point. So well.
Back to my notes. Oh. We're just going to slide past that. Immunity to vampire vulnerabilities. So he's not as... So most vampires we know are immune to, you know, the sunlight. Like they don't... Or not, sorry, not immune, but they can't handle sunlight, things like that. because Blade is half human and half vampire, he's not affected by sunlight exposure, at least to yellow sunlight exposure. We'll get onto, he is affected by red sunlight exposure though, so a little different. So he still has the, he's not
Yeah, just
immune to
have
that.
Superman.
Exactly. He's also not allergic to silver, so he's not like, when he's hit with silver bullets, he might just get, wounded and things like that, but his healing powers will not slow down. So it's not like he's going to completely get hit and then die from those wounds. They will, he will be able to recover. And he's also
So it
immune
basically
to,
just hurts because he got shot.
exactly, and things like silver blades and stuff like that. It'll hurt him, but he'll be able to heal from them.
Okay.
He's immune to effects of religious icons such as crosses. We mentioned holy water for vampires. He's immune to that. So you won't be able to, like show him a cross and he just goes like and like runs away kind of thing. He'll be he'll be good.
See again, folks, we do our own sound effects here.
Was the sound of the vampire, getting upset with the icons. Transformation, we talked about that. We had asked, Tim had asked if he changes into a bat. He can change from a human to a more monster-like being, so not exactly a bat, but he can manifest wings, which allow him to fly at high speeds. And he's actually
Really,
carried
I
some
have
Avengers.
never seen that in the
Yeah.
comics.
Apparently, this is a thing. I did not know either, and
That's
now I would like to
fascinating.
see, more of it. Although I think he, it does say here in the notes that he did carry off. I think it was, I don't remember which Avenger it was, but he has carried off people to safety at some point in time,
Or to their death.
or to their death, depending on what he needs it for. Some of his
Huh.
other abilities: he is a master of martial arts and is proficient in most weapons known to man. Some of the combat
That's
forms that he
every
uses.
Marvel superhero is proficient in
Yeah.
combat and martial arts and weapons. Every profile
True,
that
but they
we've done.
also, yes, he's proficient in all that, and he also has wings. So I guess, it's a deadly combination.
There you go.
He's proficient in boxing, capoeira, eskrima, jeet kune do, hapkido, jiu-jitsu, shokotan karate, kung fu, ninjutsu, and krav maga. I was worried I would pronounce all of those incorrectly. So, and Yang.
Tim, to his credit, he's been alive for centuries, so he's had time to learn.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Is also an expert marksman and swordsman.
Like every
He's
other
skilled,
hero.
like a lot of heroes, he's skilled with firearms, automatic and semi-automatic. This knowledge has actually allowed him to modify some of the firearms to fire hollow point garlic-filled silver bullets,
What?
which I thought was, because I was like, garlic filled? That's like, you get hit with a silver, you get a vampire gets hit with a silver bullet, that's like one wound and then it's filled with garlic. Like, yikes, like double whammy there. You're not recovering at all from that.
But how is his shrimp scampi? That's what I'm interested to know.
I'm assuming it's pretty good, I guess.
She hasn't gotten to his culinary skills yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Book didn't end up including all of the culinary skills. I guess nobody went on a date with him, which is a little sad. Because I'm sure he must have been a great date. I mean,
Well, brothel. He learned stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't want to go back to the, I go back to the PG-13 portion of the book. And as well, he is multilingual, so he can speak English, German, Romanian, Japanese very fluently. But those were only some of the ones that were noted. Apparently, there are others that they did not know about that they did not include. So he may be fluent in much more than just those four that were that I listed. He's an expert driver of cars, motorcycles, and other vehicles. So I'm kind of getting a vibe that he's a little bit like Bond as well. Was the
He's the vampire version of James Bond.
That's exactly what
Blade
I was
Bond.
getting. Blade Bond. He's Blade.
Eric Bond.
He also knows a little bit about sorcery and supernatural. So he can kind of sense a lot of if there is supernatural beings around, he can kind of guess that they're there, and he can also kind of guess their skills and how they kind of work and operate, which is really interesting within a battle. I think against Shumagaroth, he kind of was able to kind of guess where they may be able to get an advantage. So that kind of really helped him out while working with Avengers and other heroes.
He has a supernatural spider sense.
Pretty much. And I believe I was reading somewhere and I didn't see more information on it, but apparently there was a super spider combination where he had kind of spider abilities, and I didn't really get a chance to get into it because the book, that was another volume. So we'll have to look into that a little further. But in case you might not have guessed, vampires, he has a very big intimidation factor. Vampires and other supernatural are afraid to confront him or combat him. I mean, he created, you know, garlic silver bullets. I can only imagine what other things, you know, people would or other beings would be afraid of him.
He's got a reputation.
Yes. Some of his weaknesses. So he doesn't have all of the weaknesses of the rest, like other vampires have. He does still need to ingest fresh blood, in order to stay alive. Not flesh, fresh blood. But other than consuming blood, he can ingest it from like insects, serums, or any other ways that you can get blood. It doesn't necessarily have to be from living beings or humans. So that kind of helps him as well. He does have a vulnerability to red sunlight, like I mentioned previously. So he's not affected by yellow sunlight, just the red sunlight. And it just burns his skin, and long exposure to the red sunlight can be very fatal for him.
Where do we get red sunlight? I mean, is this like cool sunset kind of red sunlight, or is there like some weird thing?
From the science that I know of, our sun has yellow rays come through. So I'm assuming it's off of another planet or elsewhere, or I don't know. The book doesn't explain more of that information, unfortunately.
Damn book leaving out details.
You know what? Actually, there is a note here, but I think it's in another volume. So we'd have to look into the other volumes.
So there's a missing volume on the brothel and a missing volume on red sunlight.
I'd have to go back to the archives of the of the Order of Tyranna to look into it. Gotcha. I believe their library is filled with tons of volumes of other supernatural and occult beings and things. So I might have to, you know, look into that further. You know, we could do a whole section on the red sun. Some of his weapons
That'll be with the Hunter's Moon.
Right, yes, exactly. Yeah, Hunter's Moon. Yeah. Followed up by the Red Sun and the brothel. He has, some of his weapons include teakwood daggers. They're adamantium acid-etched swords. He also uses Kevlar body armor, automatic and semi-automatic firearms, which, again, like I mentioned, have the hollow point garlic-filled silver bullets. He's got a variety of particles.
Go back for a second. Acid-etched adamantium blades.
Yes.
Makes no sense, because you only acid-etch a blade when they're made of more than one metal.
That's another addition.
It's a design technique. Guys, I watch a lot of Forged in Fire.
Yeah, but John, how often have they worked with adamantium in Forged by Fire?
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Only one episode, and they didn't get very far. All the tools kept breaking.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
He's got a variety of portable custom design weapons that employ silver, garlic, sunlight, ultraviolet rays, things like that, anticoagulants. Anticoagulants kind of just helps to, you know, thicken blood and all that kind of stuff. So he's got a lot of things that will really take down vampires. Then there's his specialty, his specific blade sword, which is a special titanium acid etched again, with a soft core, which makes it lighter then and perfect.
Yes, no, that you can acid edge.
He also has a motorcycle, which he likes to ride. And that's all about all of his transportation and weapons. Some of his allies that he's worked with are range from Captain America, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Punisher, the Wasp, and a variety and many other Avengers. There is a whole other file. It says that there's a whole other section of Blade on Earth 26320. So there's a whole other section on that, but that might be for another time and another day. So that was the end of that very quick volume of Blade. Although, as mentioned, there are many other volumes that are connected to Blade, because he has a lot of interesting powers, a lot of interesting weaponry. So there's a whole bunch of other volumes that I'm sure we would be able to spend hours upon hours perusing the archives and libraries of the Order of Tyranna.
Fantastic. That was some good stuff. I'm interested to see what we, as you were talking about that, and I have some exposure to the comic book version of Blade, particularly through like the Ghost Rider, Doctor Strange, Midnight Suns kind of stuff, and some of his interactions there. And then, as we said at the top of the episode, the Wesley Snipes movies, which the first one I thought was really good. The second one was okay. I don't think we have to have a conversation about the third one. And you know, kind of interesting the liberties that they took in the movie from his comic book origin. Some things were very similar. Some things were a little bit different. Blade's a good character. I really like the character. He's an interesting character. I like the vampire stuff that Marvel does. I mean, the latest Moon Knight comic series, Moon Knight has a vampire as an executive assistant.
Oh, cool.
Because
why not?
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of people, even before Iron Man, a lot of people, and even before even the Spider-Man, Blade, the Wesley Snipes Blade, was kind of their introduction into the Marvel, into Marvel in general.
Yeah.
And like, I have friends who are like, oh, Blade was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was really well done. I loved it. And it was just, a lot of people just absolutely thought it was fantastic. So I'm glad that they are finally bringing a new Blade into the MCU, because the previous Blade was not part of the MCU. Although I do hope that they kind of pay some kind of tribute to the Wesley Snipes version.
Oh, whether I hope so too.
If they have some kind of, because we've opened up the multiverse now, if they have, I'd love to just be able to see Wesley Snipes just kind of like, even if it's like a cameo or like a 2 second thing where he just shows up and then kind of does his thing. It would be really kind of nice little nod to his contribution to Marvel movies.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Cool. Very good stuff. Yeah, Sheba, thank you. Thank you for doing Blade. Really interesting character. Like I said, hopefully we're going to see a new Blade movie in like a year. Maybe, maybe not. Don't really know. I mean, the movie's been announced. Mahershala Ali has been announced for it. I mean, they are in pre-production for it, at least as far as we know. Maybe even on Disney Plus Day, we're going to get some, like, an updated bit of information on it.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, it absolutely would.
I mean, I'm hoping, I wonder if they are there, they might include him as, like, a end credit scene or something in a movie, TV show, something.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's why they're not just yet, because they're waiting to kind of add in there. But you know, that would be really interesting. I'm also, while we're wrapping up here, I realized I better return this book back to the order. They may come after me because the The fees will be very high if I don't return it. Might
Are
want to do
they
that.
like a really, really bad library? Like if you're like a day late on the book, like they come hunting for you or something?
Yeah, they deal with the occult, so I don't know who they're going to send after me or what. So it's probably best that I return it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it probably doesn't help that I didn't ask to borrow it. I just kind of went in and took it with me.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that they haven't noticed it missing, you know, for a while. So I have a little bit of, you never know. Again, occult, they probably have a spell on it, and they probably noticed the minute it left.
Yeah, so you've been cursed. Really nice knowing you. It's been great to have you on the podcast, Sheba.
Yeah.
Don't use my name because then they might pass on the curse to you.
Don't say your name three times or something.
Exactly.
Like Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
So, thank you again, folks. Thank you very much for joining us for this episode. This is episode 195. Next week, episodes 196 and 197 as we continue our march onward to episode 200, which is really exciting. That kind of like struck me again this morning that, wow, we're right there, right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't even realize that.
I'm going to have to map out the weeks. That would be cool if it works out that episode 200 is a Disney Plus Day episode. Oh, I'm going to have to.
It's going to be close.
Or
you know what? Would it be the Day of Eternals? Like around that time?
I'm going to have to look at the weeks and see where it's going to fall.
So this is episode what?
This is 195.
94. Or 95, sorry. Yeah, 95.
So 96, 97, 98, 90. So the week of November 8th. So Disney Plus Day is the 12th.
Oh, it works.
But we'd have to delay.
And it's.
We'd have
it's
to delay
right
recording
after.
To catch it. Because, yeah, Disney Plus Day is like a Thursday or something, right?
We're losing all of the listeners on insider politics of our.
Yeah, recording. Yeah.
Okay. We can discuss this later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, folks. Thanks very much for joining us. Catch you next week. Bye-bye.